This is ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.
This morning, we remember events from 75 long years ago. We remember the devastating attack on Darwin by the Japanese. We remember all those who lost their lives or who were wounded. It was, of course, the first of more than 200 attacks on Northern Australia over the following 2 years. And here in Queensland, we remember that the Japanese also dropped bombs on Townsville. This week was also the 75th anniversary of the fall of Singapore, and commemorations were held at a special service in Brisbane this morning to remember those who died in Singapore and the many more who suffered the horrors and indignities of incarceration and ill treatment as prisoners of war. But what is the role of these commemorations today? And do they really help to ensure that the phrase "never again" is more than just a slogan? Scott Stevens is the ABC's religion and ethics editor, and he co-hosts The Minefield on RN Radio National. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Sarah.
Now, commemorations and ceremonies obviously play a role in the national memory, but what do you say to those people who remember these events is to remember how little remembering does to change who we are and what we're capable of?
That's a fabulous question. Look, some years ago, a very similar question was put to me, and I was struck by how unthoughtful my instinctual response was. And my response was, of course remembering is a moral act. Of course forgetting is something that's almost morally culpable. Of course we're dooming ourselves to ignore the warning signs, to be sort of blithe and rather laissez-faire about the emergence of kind of new threats that are always embryonic when they first emerge. But there was it was a couple of years ago that I came across this really interesting book, and in fact, one of our first guests on The Minefield was a gentleman named David Reif, who wrote a really fiery book called Against Remembrance, where he said that one of the effects of constantly having these commemorations is, in fact, every year to keep picking open this sore, to keep the wound raw, to make sure that a certain group of people or a certain ethnicity or a certain established enemy remains one's enemy. And it's a really passionate case that he made for the process of national forgetting, not to be inattentive to the way in which new threats arise, but in order to allow certain forms of national, ethnic, and cultural healing to take place. I wonder what you think about that, Sarah, because for me, that didn't quite satisfy me, because I think in many respects, I still see remembering as a moral act. It's a kind of testimony. It's a witness that we bear to those who needlessly lost life. But what it has done, I think, just reflecting on David Reif's book over the last couple of years, what it has done is it sent me back to thinking, I think, more clearly about what forgiveness, in fact, is. Because I don't think the opposite of remembrance is forgetting. I think that the real solution here is trying to get a clearer sense about what we mean by forgiveness in the first place. If you talk to most people about, you know, someone's done something bad to you, can't you just get over it? Can't you just forgive them and move on? I think mostly when we think about forgiveness, what we think is it's not letting that person's crime or that person's bad activity towards me, you know, have a grip in my heart or my memory. It's just kind of shrugging it off and getting on with things. But I think, you know, for most of the history of various religious traditions and certainly within the Western philosophical tradition, forgiveness is an act. It's not passively letting something go or letting something drift away or refusing to hold tight. Forgiveness is an act where you actively extend a degree of grace and mercy towards those who have every right to expect from you your ongoing resentment. And I think if you see forgiveness as a gift that you actively give to somebody else, or even an act that you actively convey to the past, it's not so much letting something go and being blasé about it. What it is it's an active form of reconciliation. Yes, these things have taken place, but we won't allow the process of memory simply to keep that wound livid. Instead, we will use this as an opportunity to constantly renew our commitment to forgive one another. I don't know if that helps you, but for me, that's... Anyway.
Yeah, forgiveness is a very interesting way of looking at it as well, and definitely makes sense. Scott Stevens is joining us this morning on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland. He's the ABC's Religion and Ethics Editor, and he co-hosts The Minefield on RN Radio National. Do you know if or how the Japanese mark events like this in their history? Is it always different for the losing side, so to speak?
This has been one of the great shifts, I think, that have taken place within the process of national commemorations. You really have two models here. One, I think, is the German model, and the other is the Japanese model. Both, of course, aggressors during the Second World War. Germany, as a nation, has been far more full-throated, far more culturally energetic in the way that it has made the crimes of the last century, in many respects, part of its modern national identity, not as something that undermines national pride, but rather as a new basis for national pride. And I think that's interesting, that the process of national repentance, the process of ongoing reconciliation, can form a basis for pride in one's nation, rather than somehow, you know, graffitiing, if you like, the national past. For many years, Japan was very, very similar. You'll remember that after the Second World War, there was a process of deliberate national demilitarization. But one of the things that's been quite striking over the last 10 years is that there's been a cultural and even a political backlash within Japanese politics and national life. And it's not so much been, okay, we've done all the sorry business. Now let's kind of get on with sort of, you know, restoring something like national pride and honor. It's even been in the reading and what I've looked into about this, the thing that's been more striking to me is that there really is an attempt actively to return a degree, or to restore a degree of national pride, bound up with militarism and military might, to in fact sort of go back beyond, I think, some of the national transgressions of the Second World War. And so there have been a number of Japanese, very prominent Japanese politicians, for instance, that have been rather more chest beating about Japan's immediate past than I think recent history should allow. So I think, you know, national commemorations do have to be taken very, very carefully. This is an important work for politicians. I don't think we do it particularly well here surrounding Australia Day. I don't think we're in any business to be lecturing any other nation. National commemorations are very, very important, and they need to be handled delicately. But I think the really tough work of any serious politician that sees politics as in any way a moral vocation is how to hold together things that should not have been the way that they were, and to hold those things as the basis of new forms of reconciliation, national forgiveness, and dialogue. The worst of all responses is to say, you know, we've done our necessary national penance, now let's just get on with things.
Scott, the Holocaust survivor and writer Elie Wiesel said, to forget would be absolute injustice, in the same way that Auschwitz was the absolute crime. To forget would be the enemy's final triumph. Is it that remembrance ceremonies are kind of a guarantee that the enemy won't have that final triumph?
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness, no. I mean, that's a wonderful question, but alas, it's not. And I think this is where national commemoration really has to be done very carefully. As soon as populations get a sense that as a nation we're just going through the motions, or this is the kind of perfunctory bit of national self-flagellation, then you're right. There can be forms of, I mean, not only can it lead to forgetfulness, it can lead to something even worse, which is callousness and indifference about that history. And I think that really is the worst of all solutions. And so, I mean, my simple response is there are worse things than forgetfulness, and that's sort of half-hearted, disinterested remembrance. And again, I think the German example here is really interesting. How can these things be absorbed into one's national life as a cause and as an ongoing provocateur for reconciliation, something that's actively held within the national bloodstream, an active moral commitment that not only will these things not happen again, but we will be utterly morally intolerant towards the first indications that we might be going that way again. I mean, for me, Elie Wiesel is one of the indispensable testimonies to how to remember in such a way that that remembrance doesn't become perfunctory or just going through the motions, but the way that it can be accompanied by the proper feeling, by the proper affect.
Hmm. Scott Stephens, so much more to talk about on that front, but thank you so much for giving us your perspective on it this morning. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
ABC Radio, Brisbane and Queensland.
Streaming now at abc.net.au/Brisbane.